You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. It's all called, also called WBC-TV. We take it to the Bronx and bring in the aforementioned PhD of boxing, Mr. Socrates Palmer. And how are you today, sir?
I'm doing great, Pedro. How about yourself?
Oh, you sound all full of energy here, man. What are you taking values back there at Kasak or what?
No, man, just high on life. We got some really good weather after getting tons of rain the other day here in New York. So I guess that has me kind of chipper.
You know, there's no such thing as climate change. What have you heard of the subway flooding in New York like that and streets flooding in New York? Never, not too often do you hear of that.
Yeah, I mean, there were people that were literally in a raft in the streets. I mean, hey, it looked like something out of Tom Sawyer.
What's going on with the illegal apartments and stuff like that? We could just go back to boxing. What's up with the illegal apartments? Are they like washing down the street?
Well, I mean, that's something that's been around here forever, and it's just a reflection of it's a necessity. People rent in New York City. I mean, I don't have to complain to you about rent prices. It has to be number one or two. I know San Francisco's right up there. And people that live in basement apartments is because they can't really afford anything else. And it's a trickle-down effect because landlords, taxes, and water bills, they try to squeeze every penny they can out of a three- or four-family home. You know, I'm assuming that the mayor is going to crack down on it because we are a reactive city here. Nothing gets done unless something terrible happens. And I believe there was a tragedy.
Sock, that's the way of the world. Listen, when I was a cop, I was proactive as hell. You know what I'm saying? I just was, right. I mean, I was before I was going to say a bad word there, before mm-hmm. spit happened, we were on it. You know where I'm coming from? And now cops just react. Everything is just reaction. In other words, we were thinking about things before they happened. We had forethought, this and that. But now it's just react and clean up. That's just the way the world is at this point in time. Anyway, let's go back to Jake Paul just for a second. I thought he looked okay. I mean, he's not going to be Sugar Ray Leonard or anything like that. But you know what? If he can sell 16,000 tickets, I'm proud of him. I'm sorry, but I got to say that.
I am on board with you. I mean, do I think he didn't look as good as he did in his previous fights because he fought someone with a pulse. You know, I got to give Tyron Woodley some credit. I think if he would have been more active, he could have maybe stolen a decision or had a better case for it. But yeah, I mean, Jake Paul is good for boxing. I mean, let's call it what it is. I mean, what's the old saying that, the boat that I'm the butcher of the phrase, but you know what I'm saying? He's good for boxing because everyone gets paid.
Okay,
like
you know
Amanda
what's funny?
Serrano fought on the biggest stage she's ever fought before. And there's a young lady that's fought at the Garden, and she never had more eyes, I'm sure, on her than she did last week. Jake Paul is probably as good as any prospect right now. And if you look at what he's doing, considering the years of boxing that he has in him. I mean, he's been taking, how long has he really been fighting? You know, less than 3 or 4 years, you know? So I'm going to give Jake Paul a C+. Okay. You know, it was a good fight.
Okay. You know, and the king of smack when it comes to MMA is Jorge Masvidal. Of course, he's done his era of boxing. He was a street fighter. He broke his bones fighting in the backyards with a Kimbo Slice, people like that on YouTube about 10, 15 years ago. Anyway, he had just gotten, I think in his last fight, he got chilled. I mean, knocked out cold. He was asleep for like 150 count against Israel Adesanya in the title fight. Of course, he was talking smack. And he was talking.
Guzman.
He was talking all the smack about Jake Paul and Tyron Woodley. You know, he should just shut up and go away. Anyway, Masvidal had his run. His run is over. Let's talk about Oscar De La Hoya. In the hospital with COVID or in the hospital with shrinking intestinal fortitude? Which one is it?
Oh, damn.
That guy, because, hey, that guy, listen, that guy's a, listen, you may, I don't, Vitor Belfort, I remember being around him in Vegas, okay? And of course, this was 2004, okay? That was like 16 years ago. But he was a big dude. You know what I'm saying? I mean, around me, to me, he was a big dude. And Oscar De La Hoya, I've been around him a lot too, and he's not a big dude.
No, he's not
anywhere.
He's not a physically big person. Right. You're right. And he looked good in pictures. You know, his open workout, you know, for his age. but he was going to be fighting someone who's naturally heavier than him and thick bones. And Oscar hasn't been active, so
I smell something amiss here when Evander Holyfield can step in for the former welterweight champion.
That is like some bizarro. Yeah, that's something crazy. I've never seen a more jinxed year for boxing than we're in. And how about Triller? You know, Triller, they can't, you know, they keep getting all these fights, you know, derailed. At least they're able to save the show because Evander was in training. And it's probably a more competitive fight.
I'm chuckling Evander Holyfield and I met in 1984. It was May 1984. I'm at the Western Olympic Trials, way in over my head as far as competition was concerned for that Olympic year. No doubt about that. But anyway, there I am sitting there, and I'm bitching about the stale pancakes. And the pancakes are like stale. They're like a rock. You can pick the pancakes. I remember what I did was I picked the pancakes up, and I dropped them on the plate from the fork, and they made a noise like that. Okay, so anyway, Holyfield's sitting. I don't know Evander Holyfield. I have no idea who he is. He's sitting right across from me, and he said, "I go, ain't this a blah 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 blah?" And he told me, "Man, be glad you're eating." And I said, "Oh, okay." And then I found out a little bit later it was Evander Holyfield. And of course, later on in life, I would call him V. That was my little nickname for him, V. But Evander Holyfield stepping in for Oscar De La Hoya. That just has so many different ramifications. I don't know which direction to go. We are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV, of course, coming to you from the Sports Byline Studios in the City by the Bay. We'll return, of course, with Boxy's PhD after the break. I'll talk about Mr. Socrates Palmer. This is Ring Talk coming to you from the Sports Byline Studios in the City by the Bay, San Francisco, California.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
I am not these bubblegum dudes you're talking to.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
So you don't want to fight me again?
I will. We're moving on.
Oh, I do. Hey. You're the one that got wobbled, almost sent through the rope.
Tattoo.
You're not scared of running back.
If you get the tattoo, I love Jake Paul, let's run it back.
Bet.
Let's go. That's dogging that dude pretty good. I mean, that's like making him put his girlfriend's name on your chest or something like that. Ooh, that was sort of nasty. But hey, it's part of the hype and this and that. Jake Paul, of course, and Tyrone Woodley carry on after the fight, saying if you get a tattoo saying, "I love Jake Paul," I'll give you a rematch. Well, Socrates, I got to ask before we get back to serious business, is he going to get the tattoo?
Boy, I don't depends. I don't know his finances, but he's got some bills due. He may just get out.
That's a tough shot, man. If you got some big, in other words, if you got some bills due, get the tattoo, this and that.
Is he married? Paul, I mean, his wife may say, "Listen."
Bottom line is, at the end of the day, I think it was entertainment, and that's just what it was. And, of course, Amanda got her stage. You talked about Amanda getting her straight stage. Of course, MSG, she's had garden eyes on her before, but nothing like this. Oscar's been KO'd by COVID, of course. Now, let's talk about the upcoming fight. I'll take it back. So let's go back in time. Yordan Arguez and Manny Pacquiao, if they run that one again, evidently Justin Fortune and Freddie Roach are going to war. Because you sort of expected that because, you know, the guy's 42 years old. Somebody's looking to make excuses. Freddie Roach is going to say it was Justin Fortune. Justin Fortune is going to say that it was Freddie Roach. And, of course, Alex Ariza is going to say it was both of them.
They should have never broke up that team, man. I mean, that's the bottom line. But, just to stay on topic, how can that fight be any different? Manny really looked every bit of his age, you know? I mean, unless the only way Manny could win that fight, if it's some sort of exhibition and they fight like these, you know, abbreviated rounds, three rounds or something, There's no way that Manny could. That's it. The window closed. And it's not that Ugas is great, but, you know, against that version of Manny Pacquiao, he was great. And I personally, you know, wouldn't want to see it, but Manny has earned the right to, you know, to have his career end the way he wants to. He's given a lot to the sport. And if he thinks that it was a fluke, then, you know, more power to him. You know, I'm sure that it's going to be the biggest payday Ugas will ever see. And he deserves the payday as well. So, you know, but I don't see it ending any different.
No doubt about that. You know, we were talking this week about Canelo doing this thing against Caleb Plant. Of course, it's going to go down in November, and it's going to be for all the belts, this and that. So here's what's up. He cleans up all the belts at 168. I guess David Benavidez is the really the signature opponent for him at this point in time. Am I right or am I wrong?
I think he's the fighter that probably is viewed as the biggest threat to Canelo because, you know, he's probably the more accomplished between him and Plant. He's a really big super middleweight, and he has a hellacious work rate. I mean, he throws a lot of punches, and he's kind of awkward. Me personally, I don't think he's got the footwork to hang with Canelo for 12 rounds. But I think he's a bigger challenge than Caleb Plant just because of the volume, and he's a bigger puncher.
When I was a matchmaker back in a long time ago, anyway, licensed matchmaker here in California, I had a guy that could fight here locally. I won't mention his name anyway. Nah, he couldn't fight that good. He sold tickets, okay? Anyway, he was like 3-0, and they told me, you got to get an opponent for this guy. So I looked around, and I said, I'm not going to bring any stiffs. I'm just not going to put stiffs on my card. And they're telling me, you got to do it. You got to do it. He sells tickets. I said, I'm not going to do it. So anyway, I came up with a guy that was 2-9, but the guy was a killer. And they call him Pantera. They didn't call him Pantera for nothing. The guy got out of jail like he was Ricardo Mayorga in 1990s. I mean, he got out of jail like a week before he was going to engage in this fight. He took the fight on 2 days' notice. He came to the city by the bay, San Francisco. I checked him into the hotel, this and that. And to show you how bold this dude was, Socrates, I'm the matchmaker and the ring announcer and the co-promoter and the whole. I'm doing everything, selling tickets, whole nine yards, security. He ain't coming down for the fight. He's in the dressing room. So I got the guy that's selling all the tickets in the ring, and they're going, Danny, Danny. And the people are going absolutely berserk, and the opponent's not there. And I'm saying, WTF, what's going on here? Where's the opponent at? So I go back upstairs. He goes, you hear those people? I said, yeah. He goes, you want me to come downstairs? It's going to cost you $500 more. And I said, huh? He goes, yeah.
What?
$500 right now, or I'm not coming downstairs. He goes, and you can suspend me. I don't care. I already spent 4 days in San Francisco. That's what he told
me.
I
mean, you know, he held you hostage.
But bottom line, I gave him the $500. So he went down there. He went down. He showed up. I mean, went into the ring, knocked my guy down in the second round, got robbed out of a decision after four rounds. Okay, but he was 2-9. Why I'm bringing this up is that a young Mexican boxer by the name of Jeanette Zapata, by the age of age of 18, she did not have a winning record, and she was an opponent per se, and they put her in a fight that, according to John Bray, the former heavyweight boxer down there in L.A., he said she was way overmatched. And when you overmatch people, you get them killed. And how do I know this? I'm a former matchmaker. But when you make 90-10 fights or 110 fights, in other words, you like 100% this person's going to win because the other person doesn't have a chance. Like 100%, you're supposed to be doing 65-35, 60-40, that's the way you're supposed to make a little bit of, just give your guy a little bit of an advantage, but you don't give your guy a total walkover, okay? Well, they brought in this girl as an opponent, and she got hurt, and 5 days after she got hurt, at the age of 18, she has succumbed. So bottom line is, matchmakers do this all the time, okay? I mean, they play with people's lives, they gamble with people's lives. And I think there should be a penalty to be paid here, Mr. PhD. I just think so. I don't think that this guy, I think his nickname is Pow or something like that. But anyway, I don't think the matchmaker should get off here and just walk away.
You know, I mean, the fight took place in Canada.
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
He definitely should be under investigation. But, you know, we see mismatches all the time. Some commissions, you know, like in New York or, you know, which is one of the better ones, they want to prove an opponent. The young girl is a tragedy. She's 2-4. She had been knocked out previously by another undefeated fighter. And really, I mean, it's you remember the movie with Humphrey Bogart, the Harder They Fall?
Yeah.
You know, and they puffed up this guy. Like, what does a win, you know, do, a win like that do for you?
But,
do for your fighter, other than, you know, a confidence builder? I mean, it's, you know, reality will set in when they fight somebody legit, you know, and well, it's very sad. 18 years old.
The events promoter, Yvonne Michel, the Yvonne Michel group, anyway, they announced the death on social media on Thursday, saying she died about 3:45 p.m., of course, Montreal time. We offer condolences to her family. But I will say this. I'm going to say it again. If you – listen – you have somebody's lives. You have somebody's life in your hands here as the matchmaker. You just do. And whether you want to take the responsibility of that or not, you should have to. It should be forced upon you. In other words, you know, when I made matches, you know, I used to watch Don Chargis sit there and bite his nails after making matches, watching fights go on, because he never made 90-10 fights. You know what I'm saying? He tried to make 65-35 fights or 60-40 fights and this and that, and then he would bite his nails down to almost bleeding. You know, I mean, that's just the way it was. But you didn't do the 90-10 fights, and this was a 90-10 fight, and it shouldn't have taken place.
Yeah, and it's a shame because Montreal is a great fight town. I mean, a lot of good history, and they've put some great cards together over the past 5 to 10 years. I mean, unfortunately, we know what happens. Every time a fighter steps into the ring, literally they are taking their own life into their hands. I mean, they never leave the same. It's just a shame. I guess the matchmaker and the fighter, I mean, the matchmaker, not so much, but I'm sure. I wonder how the fighter's gonna, how her career is gonna go forward. I mean, she's 31 years old, and it was only her fifth fight or something like that, fourth fight. So she probably won't fight again. I think it's gonna traumatize her.
You know, yeah, I can go back in time, but David Gonzalez not only killed Rico Velasquez, he killed another guy in Las Vegas. I think Mangila, the former Olympian. But the bottom line is, David Gonzalez killed two guys in the ring. He and I were tight at one point in time. So. Tragedy in the world of boxing, yes, but is it avoidable? Sometimes it was. I think it might have been avoidable here. Anyway, Sock, have a good week. Kiss the wife. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, brother, for having me on. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Boxing's PhDs, the great Socrates Palmer Jr. of Brooklyn, New York. Of the Bronx, excuse me, not Brooklyn, the Bronx Bomber. Anyway, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Take it to the break. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV.